keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. We're excited to have all of our viewers with us on the Gulf Coast and Christian Television Network Monday through Friday. Wow, 5 to 6. We also want to welcome all of those who are listening on the radio. And we're encouraged to have you today. Here to encourage you is Steve Kolaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. I see you're quite chipper today. Steve, the Saints won. I'm glad. Now we have Pat excited today. Very good.
Yeah, Pat excited.
This is the excited
I'm
mode.
Overwhelmed.
He's the overwhelmed mode. We have so much to talk with you today. I want to encourage those that are listening on VFN radio and are posting from all over the world. We are encouraged by your posts, and we encourage you to continue to do that on social media. Don't forget, you can always find out more at VFNTV.com and explore a while. You'll be interested to find out. We're constantly making additions and putting new things up there for you. Just another way so you can continue to spread the light.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're going to be talking about a few things. So one of the things is bound by love. You know, you can be bound by a lot of things, but it's so amazing when you can be bound and tied together with people and with God, because there's a love that's there. And it's love is a glue. And you can try to, you know, like I said, tie some folks down.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bonding agent, and it's called love. And as we're trying to explore how we can love God more, we're going to be amazed to find out how much God really loves us. And we hear that often, you know, God loves you, he loves the world. But we're going to look more about his prized creation and how he feels about you and all those wonderful things. We're also going to be talking about Wycliffe and Bible translation. So exciting, because right now they're running towards the finish line and being able to translate the Bible in so many different languages. And to me, that's so cool, because now the Word of God can get into the hands of all peoples everywhere, and they have interesting technology today, computers, Pat, software, that are able to, you know, break down a language really quick and, mm-hmm. and do in a short amount of time what took years to do in terms of translation. So we're getting Bibles out. Also going to be talking about YouVersion, downloadable Bibles, and just the craze with that, because I think they just reached a huge milestone. We're going to talk about it in the number of downloads and the amount of versions that have been out. So
wow.
Really, really cool. We're also going to be talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a lot to discuss and try to get into this program. But don't forget that we're two programs back-to-back. And just stay connected and stay tuned. And make sure you watch VFN Radio throughout the week as often as you can, because you miss a day of VFN TV and VFN Radio, you miss a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about Bound by Love. And, you know, I know that we've been on a quest. We've been talking about, you know, growing in the love of God and how we can love others and how we can love God more. And, you know, Jesus' last words to his disciples, I mean, people often talk about famous last words, were go, you know, and make disciples of all nations. And part of being a disciple, a follower, a learned one, if you will, is drawing close to God and allowing ourselves to have roots that go down deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes when you come to God, you're new, you're growing in the things of the Lord. You know, God has strategically placed people in your life that have been walking with him for a long time. They're like pillars. They're like huge oak trees in God. They have roots that are way down deep, and we're able to swing on their limbs and find shelter and safety because they've been walking with the Lord for a while. But it's God's desire that all of us become mm-hmm. like these oaks. All of us become strong in him, have roots that go way down, so that others and the next mm-hmm. generations that are coming to the Lord, they can find safety and encouragement and strength as they're getting their roots down. But, you know, sometimes some folks just are happy just to have, you know, a flower quickly fading in the wind here today. You know what I'm saying? They're happy just to have a couple. It's like, no, you got to be discipled. You got to get roots that go down, because, you know, the storms will come. And when the wind comes and when the wind blows, you're not going to be able mm-hmm. to have any kind of root there. And so what helps us to become a disciple, a follower, is that we fall more in love with God. You know, there's a difference between loving God and falling in love. And what does that mean, really? And how do I love God? And can I love God? Mm-hmm. Well, what helps us, I think, to really understand how we can love God is to first get the true picture of love, which is God, because the Bible says God is love. How can we see the love of God demonstrated towards us? Because, I mean, why look at, a lot of times we look horizontally to get a definition of love when really we need to be looking vertically.
Right.
Okay, God, you give us the idea here. How is it that you love? And as I was abiding on this and just kind of spending time with the Lord, I just started realizing some things. And, you know, God is really amazing. When we start looking at him, and I know we know this, but when we start looking at his some attributes, we know that he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he knows everything. We know he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. And we know he's omnipresent, he's everywhere all at the same time. Just with those few characteristics about God, we're like in awe, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, oh my goodness, right? And it helps us to realize, okay, God, I mean, he can do anything. He can change his mind. He can do whatever he wants. But why is it that God is so enamored with man? It's like, what is this? What? You look at all the things that God created. The earth. Just the earth alone. Land. The seas. The sea creatures. The animals. You know, all the landscapes, all the beautiful things that God created, we marvel and say, wow, you're amazing. The sun, the moon, the stars, the other planets, the galaxies. And yet God created man. And I thought, you know, again, you know, what is this with the whole man thing? What's going on here? And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk more and kind of unpack this, because as we get a good picture about God, who he is, his character, his nature, and his affections for us, it really begins to stir our hearts to realize, wow, God, you really, really do love me. More when we get right back from this break. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
VeggieTales banned from the third grade. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I'm calling for my grandson. He's in the third grade in Montebello, and a teacher had asked the kids on Friday that they could bring in movies. Then he took in his VeggieTales movie, and she didn't let him watch it. She said it was too religious.
Laura, I was going to ask you that. Did she give you a reason why they wouldn't allow him to watch the video, and she said it was because of the religious content?
Yes, that's what it was. She said.
The law is clear. When they're allowed to bring in these kind of show-and-tell kind of assignments where the student is initiating the video, religious videos are not supposed to be disqualified from that. And there's even a Department of Education guideline that deals specifically with this kind of situation. I'm going to send you those guidelines, but let me also get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help right away. You hang on the line. They shouldn't be banning VeggieTales in the third grade.
Join the fight against religious discrimination. Visit ACLJ.org.
So rivers of living water are going to come from within, from your belly. Your spirit is here. It's not here. I got news for you. Well, if you're struggling with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got to think about, I'm here. I need to get here. It has nothing to do with, you're really surprised because you're thinking like, everything I do is here. And it's like, no, you have hands and feet and your spirit dwells within inside of you. This is from your belly, so it's not from your head. out your mouth. It's from your belly out your mouth. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to figure this out with my head. How do I, this has nothing to do with your head. Oh, I'm confused. It doesn't matter if you're confused. It's a promise.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're just started really talking about the love of God and why God is so into man. What, you know, what is this God? He's the creator of the universe. I mean, there's so many amazing things that he created, and why is it that he created man and he's like in love with man? He loves man, mankind. And so, you know, I have an appreciation for art. I mean, I think you guys know this. Some things we've talked about. I love art. I did not know that. You didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Man, I love art. I love, like, design and mainly because I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate, you know, what somebody else.
Can.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I love colors and I love the way, you know, people put them together. I love graphics and I love to see true drawings and paintings. I can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad did some drawing, and I did a little, but nothing, you know, play stuff. But I really appreciate a true artist of any kind. I love to see design on architecture. I love old buildings. And because when I look at all of that, no matter what someone creates or does or builds with their hands, I look at that and I say, wow, that person for that moment was able to tap into the genius of God. And creativity flowed through them, and it started with a vision and a thought. And this thing's like manifested on paper, or this design or the sculpture is there. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. I mean, that's like so amazing to me. And then we look at, you know, of all the things that God created, think about it. Man is God's prized creation. Because whenever you talk to an artist, right, even though they've made so many wonderful things and they've sculpted or they painted, if you really talk to a true artist, there's always, you ask them, well, what's your favorite piece? Like, of all the things that you painted or drew or whatever, what's your, and they'll always pull out this one thing and say, well, this is the one now. I love this. I mean, this is my piece. This is my number one thing. And they love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's their masterpiece, if you will. They're like, this defines my work, you know? Well, you're God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And as I was reading in Genesis, you know, God created the world. He spoke everything into existence. He said, you know, let there be, and then there was. This is let there be, and then there was. But when he came to man, God didn't just speak it out. I'm going to give you like a picture here. God knelt on the ground because the Bible says he formed man out of dust.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as if dirt was running through his fingers as he was forming man. He got intimately involved. You may say that's a stretch. Well, I don't know. I mean, the Bible tells us that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. I mean, is it a stretch for him to kneel, you know, and mold? Because the Bible says he formed man.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that's so interesting. He intimately got involved with his creation. And when you think about the word form, it's, you know, it's design, it's molding, it's shaping, it's sculpting.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the human body and how amazing the body is. I mean, you know, I have a simple mind, so a lot of things amaze me, you know, but the mind blows, I mean, the body blows me away. And you think of, you know, God, even there's nothing on your body that you can say, well, you know, I can do without this or I can do without that. Everything in your body has a specific purpose. No matter how small or large it is, even your little toes, I mean, it helps you to keep balance. I mean, your toes help you to walk. And to think that God intelligently, masterfully designed a body with organs and a heart that pumps blood and bones and skin and tendons and brains and eyes that have amazing vision and ears that can hear the most detailed of sound. You know, I think about a mind, how amazing God can create a mind. That I have a 4-year-old daughter, and just in 4 years, I can see the mental wheels, if you will, the grinding taking place where she's able to connect certain actions and thoughts and go, oh, yeah, like the light bulb turns on.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, God, you're amazing.
Yeah, what blows me away, like you're talking about God's just creating the human body. It's like I think about the little intricacies of just like our individual fingerprints. It's like there is not one fingerprint that is duplicate of, like, two people don't have the same fingerprint. And it's like there's 7 million people in the world.
7 billion.
I'm sorry, 7 billion people in the world. And it's like God is so intricately involved in each and every one of us. I think about it. He talks about, like you're saying, how he pieces us together in Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And there's other parts in the Bible where it talks about he knitted us and he formed us. And mm-hmm. I think about like that in Genesis, how he says, you know, I breathed life into them.
Yeah.
And it's just like to think about that whole process. It's just like God just like got so into that moment. And to even think about, you know, the women right now that are going through a pregnancy, or they're 3 months in, they're 4 months in, they're 6 months in. It's just like God's just in
there. Think about that. He's forming
exactly
and molding and shaping. Because someone could say, well, he did it for Adam, right? Well, God's still doing it today. Mm-hmm. Isaiah says that he formed you. Mm-hmm. He's forming you in the womb, like you were saying. He's knitting you in mm-hmm. the womb. But then God goes a step further, and you just mentioned it. Not only does he form man, but then the Bible tells us that he gave man the breath of life. He goes into the nostril of man and blows the breath of life into man, the spirit mm-hmm. of life, and man becomes a living being. Nowhere in the scriptures do you see anywhere else where the word living being is in there. You see living creatures, mm-hmm. but not a living being. The other place in the Bible says that each of your hairs are all numbered by God. They have a numbers, not that they've been numbered. They have a number. You're his prized creation. And then he goes a step further and says that we made man. Let us make man in our own image and likeness. That man is the direct representation of God. Christ is the representation of God, right? Mm-hmm. But man, they're made in the image of God. We get to see, you know, the big picture of why life is being attacked so much. And because the devil hates it. The devil hates that you are made in the image and in the likeness of God, and that you have a special place before God. And I thought, man, that is so amazing when I think about that. And I think about the depths of which God, you know, knelt and formed and made. And I go, wow, you know. That's amazing, because at the end of the day, we get to realize that, you know, God has a relentless pursuit of us. When we look at Adam and Eve and how they fell in the garden, we think about, man, you know, that was a bum rap for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, sorry, guys, you know, you got thrown out of the garden. You can't hang out with God. You know, this is not good for you. Sorry. It's not really, you know, it's not funny, but you're like, man, this didn't work out.
All right.
But how many people really think about that it was really a bum rap for God, too?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God made man for his enjoyment,
right?
And now his prized creation
blows
it. And now because he's true to his word and true to his integrity, he's like, okay, you got to be out. This is what I said. You will surely die. And death was separation from God. Think about it. They were separated from life himself because they had to be outside of that intimacy that they had, and he walked in the cool in the garden. And then you look at you know, all the things that mankind has done to break, I guess, the heart of God. I mean, even then you find out, like, you know, during the days of Noah, it doesn't take much longer, and you're like, bam, you're in the days of Noah. And men had evil intent on their heart the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, God's going to start all over again. I mean, he's God. He could have said, you know, let's forget about this little place called Earth. Let's start again. Let's go to Mars. You know, what was I thinking? Mm-hmm. But he's committed. He is bound by love, and he has a relentless pursuit for you. Because a lot of times people question, you know, are they lovable? And we have such a need, I guess, for love. Everyone loves to receive love. I don't know too many people that don't want to be loved. I mean, there's something inside of us that, that receives it, that mm-hmm. desires it. And then when we get it, we say, yes, that's good. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't understand the love of God. You know, and then it's like, okay, God, help me to get this. And as I'm looking at this, I'm just, you know, I become overwhelmed because I look at a pattern of a God that says, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on mankind. Look at all the trials that the Israelites went through. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, season of doing good, season of just horrible, turning their back on God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Season of doing great. Okay, we're going to serve God. We're going to do this the right way. We're going to restore this thing. And then they go back into a downward spiral. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And God doesn't start over.
Mm-hmm.
God says, I'm committed to you. And that commitment went all the way to his son, who he gave, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? His only son, so that people wouldn't have to perish, so that people wouldn't have to die without a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that love that he's bound to us went all the way to the cross.
Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes, like you're saying about that, it's just like, the life of Jesus Christ is such a demonstration of God's love and pursuit and yearning for each of us. You know, an analogy that desperately falls short, but the way I think about it is, so often many people can talk about like the superhero or the damsel in distress and the princess, and she wants her knight in shining armor to come rescue her. And there's so many people or you know, even in this day, I've heard people say, like, you know, who's going to come rescue me? Imagine if somebody took a bullet for me. And it's just like, Jesus is the ultimate superhero. Because it's just like, when we had no other way, Jesus stepped into the whole scene, stepped onto the face of creation, and said, I will rescue you.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. stood in and walked out that life to give us that access to God. And it's like, you look at his life, you look at the cross, and it's just like, he took a bullet. I mean, you look at his life and you look at the visual, you know, we've talked about in Isaiah that he's not even visually.
Isaiah says, because it's beyond even like, I know you're saying a bullet, but it's like Isaiah, we have all these pictures and movies that depict the suffering of Christ on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, we couldn't even put our eyes on the reality of what hung on the cross that day. They couldn't put it out there because no one could bear to look at it. Because Isaiah tells us, the book of Isaiah says that Jesus' body was marred beyond human likeness, and his face was so disfigured beyond that of any man. And so I've often meditated on that. What hung on the cross that day? If his body was marred beyond human likeness, mm-hmm. and his face was so disfigured beyond that of any man, what hung on the cross that day? It was the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
We were sinners. We were away from God. We were enemies of God. And the thing about God's love that's so amazing is that while we were yet raising our fist against him, while we were breaking his heart, while we were partners with the devil, if you will, because we're away from God, we're on the enemy side, God still loved us and was willing to extend his arms wide open to us and say, come. And he paid the price so that we can be set free from sin, from bondage, from death and hell, so that we can have life and we can have it to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
And when I start thinking about that, I think that out of that gratitude, as we start to meditate on his love, how he's committed, because some people think, I think that, and I'm not sure what you think about this, Steve, that I think some people think that because of how others have loved them or how other people treat them, they kind of use that same ruler towards God. You know, it's like they measure God through how the other people act. And, you know, you hear say, well, I have a hard time relating to Father God because of, let's say, maybe their father or how someone else treated them. And the truth is that God is so outside of that paradigm, so outside of that box. I think we need to break those rulers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's so significant. I mean, the devil knows how powerful your relationship can be with Father God. He knows how powerful the love of God is through his son, Jesus Christ, is that, I mean, you look at society right now, and it's like it is an all-out just strategic attack against everything in the name of Father. you know, the role, the representation, mm-hmm. movies. I mean, just the list goes on. And the devil knows that if he can get you to repel from the horizontal father, then it's going to be easy for you to repel from the vertical father. And it's like that. That's so significant. What you're talking about is that we look to others to say, you know, to base that off of. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you think about this. It's like, imagine if you're in just a wide open area and there's a crowd of, you know, hundreds of people and they're talking about you, but you're alone standing on this side of the table or this side of the room, and a person hears people talking about you. And it's just like they could very easily just go and talk to you. But if all they've heard is these specific people talking about you, they could have just broken all that by just saying, oh, my goodness, you're that person that they're talking about.
Right.
And it's just like they're already going to have these walls up and be like, I've heard about you. And it's just like, hi, my name is. And that's the first time that they've encountered you for the truth. But that's that moment that they can really encounter what the truth is. And it's the same thing with God. We're hearing a lot of people talk about God. But when we take that step and encounter him personally, that's where we're going to find out the truth about him.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about man. The Bible says that what man desires is unfailing love. Mm. And when man encounters the love of God, his life is forever changed. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, yeah. I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we were talking about the love of God. And what the book of Proverbs tells us is that what man desires is unfailing love. When you think about it, I mean, you know, all mankind is saying, you know, hey, just love me for me. You know, my frailties, my mess ups, you know, the way I am. Would you just love me for me? And some people can't do that, right? But God loves us unconditionally. He loves us just the way we are. And he has patience. He has kindness. He's compassionate. And when man really encounters, because that's what really just blew me away. When I encountered God and I encountered his love and his forgiveness, I mean, my personal story was that, man, my life was forever changed.
Right.
You know, because I said, who could love me like that? Who could really love me like that? And when you think about a person that maybe may love you the most in your life, who's that person you think may love you the most? Maybe you think it's your parents or your mother because she, you know, gave you birth or something. I don't know. But you may say, you know, a lot of times people say their parents. Well, God's love so far surpasses the love of a parent. Because we tend to think that that's maybe the highest, you know, love or love for a spouse or whatever. But listen, God's love is way beyond that. It's so outside of the box because, you know, although people may forgive us, they may never forget what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I forgive you, all right, but God forgives and he forgets. Throws into the sea of forgetfulness and says, okay, let's start again.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I've needed a lot of forgiveness, you know. So those who've been forgiven much love much, and, you know, I'm trying to grow in that love for God. But there comes a point in one's life is that as they encounter more of the love of God, more they come into the realization of that, a sense of gratitude so, you know, wells up on the inside of them that they feel like a drawing to love him back and to know what does that love mean? Because everyone has different ways that they like to receive love. You know, the people talk about the love languages, you know, gift-giving, words of encouragement, you know, physical touch or
quality time.
Quality time, things of that nature, right? But, you know, what would be God's love language? It's obedience.
Mm-hmm.
God says, if you love me, you will obey me. And what happens is that we have a natural desire at that point to say, man, I love God. And because I love God, I want to align my life, my ways, my thoughts, you know, the things that I do in a way that brings glory, in a way that brings honor to him because I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus' act was the most radical expression of love mankind has ever known. Ever. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a chance to love him back. And to me, it's like, man, That is just amazing. That's beautiful. Because at the end of the day, that's what people need to encounter. I mean, they need to encounter the love of God. When you think about all the things that people go through on any given day, I mean, trials, setbacks, all kinds of things going on with their children and the family and you know, employment and economy and this and that. I mean, it's just, it can be overwhelming. If you don't have a revelation that God is for you, he's not against you, that God does have a plan, that his ways are always perfect and always true,
mm-hmm.
right? That he is your shield and he's, you know, he's your hedge of protection. Outside of that, that, you know, he's for you, not against you. Outside of that revelation, what else do you have to live for? And to me, it's like we need to just grow in that knowledge. And how can we love you more? What can we, how can we express this love?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge thing. It's just like when you understand just how much God loves you, you know, my personal story as well. I mean, I was rock bottom. And it's just like God came into my life. And it's just like it totally just wrecked my own understanding of the fact of what love is, that someone would love me at that moment in my life. And it's just like what you're saying.
Were you lovable?
Apparently so, yeah. I did not consider myself lovable, yeah. Nor did I feel lovable. But the thing is, though, is like when you understand that, it's just like that's that moment when you realize that God will even go into the depths of just that those miry moments of your life, and God's like, I still love you here.
Yeah.
I still love you there. And that to me, it's just like, that wrecks me personally. It's just like, even when I make the biggest mistakes, or, you know, I drop that entrustment, and God says, my love for you is not damaged in any way. And I'm like, wow. You know, and, you know, what you're saying, the fact that we get to love him back, to me, that just really, even continually, like, I think about that. It's like, I think about that moment that we, each of us, are going to stand before him. And the fact that we're going to have to be able to say something to him and say, I recognize that you love me and I did something.
Right.
And you laid down your life for me, and I just want to lay my life down for you and give it back to him, because it's just like, he is love. And I heard that for so long. It's just like, you hear people say, like, God loves you, God loves you. And it's like you're saying, immediately you go to that mindset or understanding of, it's like, what your category box understanding of love is. But it's like, no, God just doesn't do loving things. He is love.
Yeah.
He is love. And it's just like, our minds just sometimes can't wrap around that. And that just really, it's like, when you really start to dive into that, it's just like, it really changes your paradigm of how you perceive that very word.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that I was lovable at all. And in my lowest moments in life, you know, I realized that the one consistency that is always true, that I've always been able to count on, the thing that I know, like the grass is green and the sky is blue, is that God loved me in the midst of whatever happened. God loved me. And it changes everything. You know, the motivation in life, you know, to move forward and to go on to the things of God is, really, for me, all begins with God's love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And I think that we will spend eternity trying to meditate and soak on what that actually means.
Yeah.
That God so loved the world, and that he loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And that we see right from the very beginning that love has just the most amazing cost. You know, love is expensive. It's not cheap. The highest form of love is not a feeling. It's not, you know, even words. But the highest form of love is when you choose to deny yourself for the sake of someone else. I mean, the Bible says, greater love has no man than to lay his life down for his friend. And so when we love God by laying our lives down, we say, you know what? You've captured my heart. I'm indebted to you. When we realize the magnitude of what he's done, is like, what do you want me to do? I'll sell myself to you. You know, he's like, what do you want me to do? Here, whatever you want. And I think that is amazing. One of the things I remember talking about one time is about being channels of love. We had the chance to go down these slides, these big water slides. And at the very top of the water slides, you know, if you go to a water park, you see all the water that goes, you know, down the tube. And it flows freely. But if you put any kind of barrier, obviously, in, you know, that tube, the water is going to be backed up and it's not going to actually flow down. And if you go down, you're going to get burned up and, you know, messed up. However, if you would imagine that same scenario, God's at the very top and his love is desiring to flow through all of us. And what he wants us is to be channels of love. And we're supposed to lay forward. But, you know, what happens if we get offended? We stick our head back up and we stop the love from flowing. Or, something happens and we stick our head back up and it's like all this love that God wants to flow through us gets stopped and gets hindered. And I've heard this said before, that one of the most evil things you could do is deny someone love. You know, it's just to hold back that love. And we can do that, you know, unconsciously. We can do that. We can be aware of it consciously doing that. But how beautiful is it when we're able to partner with God and be a channel of his love, and to allow the love of God to flow through us, from him to somebody else. I think about what Mother Teresa said too, because one of the things that hinder our ability to love others is that we start judging them and all these different things. And Mother Teresa said this: if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them.
That's good.
And it's like, we just need to be so walking with God that we say, you know what, that's not for me to touch or to, you know, I'm just going to be a channel of his love. And that's how we can love God back. And I think about Misty Edwards' song. I thought it was just so amazing. Well, the chorus of the song says, "Oh, won't you let me love you more? That is all I desire. Won't you let me love you more? That's all I require. Won't you let me love you more? This is my deepest heart's desire."
Mm-hmm.
And when we can get to that place where we realize that, man, you know, I understand my purpose. I understand why I'm here. I understand why I am walking on the face of this earth in this season, in this time, in this age. You know, understand that you are God's unique creation, that the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you breathe, the way you look, the way you act, you have fingerprints all your own. When you understand the purpose of your existence, you realize, wow, I was made to love him. I was made for his enjoyment. When we understand that we have purpose to life, we understand that, wow, life is not about me, and if I really want to reach the pinnacle of joy, the pinnacle of happiness, is to get lost in his love and loving him back. And God is loved when we're loving other people. You know, when we're caring about his prized creation, when we're laying ourselves down for others. And I need a lot of help in that area. I want to grow in that area myself. I want to grow in loving God and loving others. And when we do that, right, when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're fulfilling the Great Commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
John, I was invited to come, you know, speak at a particular place at this gathering, and I'm there. I'm going to begin speaking, but I wanted to be able to kind of, you know, say something funny at first. And so I was telling him about this particular man, and I'll just tell them, this is how I did it. This is what I said. So I kind of changed my voice, and this is a real kind of goofy dude, you know, and he's talking, and he goes, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, by the way, and I'm talking to them. He says, I was in this place the other day, and was in this particular state, and they were talking, you know, about regions, you know, in the country, and you know, they're called them like stupid people, you know, and I just thought that is just not right, because you shouldn't call, you know, just certain regions, you know, of the country just stupid people, and I just said it wasn't right. So when I got home, you know, I was in my house, and then I decided to go in the backyard, you know, and I wanted to be out, look for some stupid people in my backyard, right? And I locked myself out my house. And, you know, I'm trying to get back in. I can't get back in. So I go up the front door, and I'm knocking on the front door. And as I'm trying to, you know, get into the front door, nobody's in the house, and I can't get in. And the police show up. And they say, freeze! And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Put your hands. I held my hands up, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for stupid people. And they just looked right at me with shock.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about, wow, the love of God and how we can love Him back. And it's our great pleasure. That is the purpose of life. That's why we're here, is to be loved by God and to love Him back, and to be loved by God and to love Him back. And one of the greatest ways that we can love God is, one, by obeying His word, and secondly, by reaching out and loving on other people, His prize creation. And we just want to encourage you today that if you don't feel loved today, know and understand that God loves you. I mean, He loves you so much, He gave His Son for you, and His Son gave His life for you. And that is the most beautiful and amazing act of love that's ever been done on the face of the earth and will ever be done, is Jesus dying on the cross. All we have to do to receive that love is just acknowledge God, receive Him into our heart, and He'll change your life forever. It's impossible for you to remain the same after you've encountered the love of God. And with each encounter, with each revelation, you're stirred even more and more in your heart to love Him back and to recklessly give your life to Him. It's just a beautiful thing that happens. And if your love is grow cold, begin to meditate and remember again and put your mind back. Bring back to the membranes what remember means. Bring it back to your mind what God has truly done for you. And when I think about what He's done, and then I just look at my own life, I think it just causes a sense of gratitude just to rise up on the inside of me that says, God, grace me. Give me all the help in the world that I need to help You love You back. Because think about this. We only have just a brief moment of time of here on this earth. The Bible says that, you know, life is but a vapor. We're here and then we're gone tomorrow. And I truly believe that, I mean, I'm personally going to have to give an account. I think we're all going to have to give an account for our life, how we lived, what we said, you know, our words, and didn't we love? I mean, Bob Jones found that out when he passed away the first time.
Right.
And he encountered God, and the Lord asked him, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And I want to learn to love. I want to learn to love more and more, and I don't want that to... Can you imagine going to see Love Himself and you didn't know loving in your entire life, but you're going to encounter Love Himself and you know what I'm saying? You're going to see Him. You want to be able to experience love and love Him and love others the right way. So you don't want to miss that encounter. But the love of God, it'll change you every single time when you encounter it. And we can encounter it again and again and again. And I just think it's so awesome. We get a chance to love Him and love others back. You know, as we close the end of the hour, we really want to share with you what Wycliffe translations translators are doing. You know, we know that Wycliffe and others have translated the Bible for us, and so that the average man could have the Word of God. It was a wonderful, amazing undertaking. And if you haven't heard America, how do we got here and how do we stay here? My goodness, you've got to listen to that. You will find out the journey of the Bible and how we even got to the King James Bible. It was amazing, and it gives us an appreciation. I went and got a Geneva Bible after that. I mean, that's how it just really touched me. But you want to get that. But today there's still translator translating the Bible in so many different languages. I want you to hear from one of the gentlemen, the president CEO, Bob Cresson, of Wycliffe Translators, as he begins to share some of the insight and some of the things that are happening with their work. Watch this.
For more than 70 years, the goal of Wycliffe Bible Translators has been to give people the Word of God in their own language. Now, they're in sight of completing that task. Joining us now is Bob Cresson, the president and CEO of Wycliffe Bible Translators. He's written a new book called The Finish Line, Stories of Hope, through Bible translation. Bob, this book is described as part memoir, part devotional, and part call to action. Is that accurate, and why'd you write it?
Absolutely accurate, Ephraim. One of the things I wanted to do was try to focus on this unique opportunity that people have in this period of history to actually accomplish the Great Commission and to be able to do it in their lifetime. Those are things we've talked about for years, but this is actually an opportunity for people to do that using the Scriptures, those things that we know are central to our faith, as a platform for that.
Well, the book includes some amazing stories of God's work in advancing the gospel around the world. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, for example, my wife and I first saw the impact of Scriptures in Cameroon. A young boy was killed in a motorcycle accident. We took his body out to the village. His father had been translating the Yambeta Scriptures. And what he did is, when we got there, he turned to the story of Lazarus, and you'll remember that story well. Mm-hmm. And he read that story in Yambeta to the crowd. And the crowd was absolutely riveted on the Word of God. Jesus was no longer a foreign God. He understood their deepest hurts, their deepest fears, and that story is a story of hope. That story gave them hope in their mother tongue.
Beautiful. How has technology increased the pace of global translation efforts?
A couple things that we're doing. You've already done a story on BGAN satellite receivers. We're using those prolifically now around the world to be able to check translations. Someone can sit at their dinner table in Arlington, Texas, and check a translation that's going on in the jungles of Indonesia. So that's one thing. The other thing we've got are computer programs now, Ephraim, that if a language is related to another language and a translation's been done in the first language, we can produce a translation now that's 60 or 70% accurate, a draft of that that new language that has not been done yet, and it's saving an incredible amount of time. That program's called Adapt-It.
Wow, the technology is amazing indeed. Describe what happens to people when they're reading the Scriptures in their own language for the first time.
Well, you know, one of the stories that I try to tell in this book, Ephraim, is about the choice of words and how important the choice of words are, and this idea that God loves us eternally. There's a story in there from northern Cameroon, from the Hidi people, talking about the choice of the word for love and this idea that God loves us eternally. This word existed within the community for centuries, but they'd never used it. And when they translated John 3:16, they began to realize that eternal love was there all along. That verb ending was there all along, and they began to use it. And it had a huge impact on them.
I can imagine. Well, the book is called The Finish Line, and that's a reference to the Vision 2025. Tell us about that vision and where you stand right now on fulfilling it.
We really believe that within the next 10 or 12 years, the final translation programs will be started. That last translator for that last translation program is alive somewhere in the world today, Ephraim. And so what we're inviting people to do is to join us and become and be a part of this historic opportunity to finish the Bible translation task in our lifetime.
Wow, real curious. How do you feel as you approach that finish line?
Very grateful to the Lord. It's a very unique opportunity and call in our lives. My wife Dallas and I have been doing this for 31 years, and every day we're grateful that we get up to very meaningful, eternal work. So to be able to call people to participate with us in this is it's a great opportunity, and we're enjoying it greatly.
So what will Wycliffe do when you're finished? Are you working yourself out of work?
Yeah, you know, people ask me that all the time. I tell them Bible translation is going to go on until Jesus comes back because, as we know, like in English, our language evolves. So these languages evolve. There's always new work to do. And one of the things that's happening today is that more and more communities want to produce the whole Bible, Ephraim. So we've still got a lot of work to do. Vision 2025 is really about starting. It's not about finishing.
All right. Bob Creason, thank you so much for your time. Always.
Absolutely amazing what the Bible can get into the hands of all people in their native language, and they can begin to abide and hear God mm-hmm. for themselves. And I think that is so cool. Mm-hmm. And people give their lives out. What an appreciation we should have for them. They give their lives to the studying the text, making sure that every word is translated in a way that's going to give them meaning. And when I think about that, I think about YouVersion, the app YouVersion. They created this app that allows you to have the Bible on a digital format on your phone. And there's been other apps like that, but what makes this app, I think, a little bit unique is that it's designed pretty awesome, where you can navigate, you know, freely. Mm-hmm. But they have so many different Bible translations. But now they just hit another milestone. They had 150 million downloads.
Wow.
150 million downloads of this app. It's free. Okay. It doesn't cost anyone a thing. In fact, we'll make sure that it's related for you on this post. In case you haven't downloaded, you can download the Bible. You can have it on your phone. And now another milestone that they reached was 1,000 languages in a digital format that you can have on your phone, the Bible. So I just think, wow, as the Word of God continues to spread and more people have more access to abide with God, they have an opportunity to hear His voice. And God's voice will change your life. There's life in the Word. We want to encourage you today that if you don't have a simple plan to connect with God and read His Word, we have one for you. You can go to iabide.org and just fill out the prompts, and we'll send it to you. It doesn't cost you a thing, but we want to encourage you, read your Bible as much as you can and hear what God would have to say to you. One word, one sentence, one thing that God would say to you a day would probably change your life. I know it'll change your life forever. And imagine putting God's word in your heart and letting that word bear fruit in your life and that word touching other people. iabide.org. Get your free plan today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
My goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Just go to VFNTV.com,
click on the podcast,
and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets
download it in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. Buy the, we're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.